Hello everyone and welcome to the Take Charge podcast. I'm your co-host Piers Ward and we have Andy Proudman alongside. How
Hello,
are you, Piers. Andy?
I'm good. I'm sitting here in the California sun. It's what can be worse than this?
What can be worse than this? And yes, we are on location. We are in North Los Angeles in California and we are at Westlake Golf Course. And we have an extremely special guest, George Gankus. What a guy, Andy.
Yes, George Gankus. So it's going to be an interesting podcast today. Now, George Gankus is certainly making a noise in the coaching world. And his unique approach to coaching comes from countless hours of research on the golf swing, studying some of the greatest golfers, and researching his own golf swing along the way. His passion for the game helps keep him motivated and every single golfer that he comes across. So let's get into this one, guys. You're going to enjoy this. Let's meet George Gankus.
So we have GG Swing Tips is here on the range at Westlake Country Club, Golf Club, should I say. George, thank you so much for popping in and spending time on our podcast. This is our first, Andy, it's our first special guest.
Exciting to have George with us.
Wow.
We've seen him, you know, it's nice to be able to meet him. And this is the world we're in now, aren't we? We're in the social media world and it's great to be able to, you know, to actually meet the people who we're looking at and watching and actually just get to share information and talk about what you're doing and what we're doing. And it's great to collaborate, really.
So how are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here. Yeah. It has been a long time. I've seen you guys and all your work. It's awesome. And
thank you.
Just happy to be here and we'll go about it and see what's up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Look, we've got to start with the history. So
okay.
let's what is your coaching career?
My coaching career.
I'll keep it short.
Okay, so my coaching career is I started late golf. I wanted to be a professional golfer. I wasn't good enough. So what I ended up doing is really studying the golf swing. So I would video every weekend as much as I could and study every shot, predict where the shots were going. And so I saw different golf swings and wondered how they all work. So I had to figure out ball flights, ball flight laws and all the rest. And that's how I started finding out how many different matchups there were. So that really interests me. I started caddying, learning to play the game a lot and how to strategize. And then people started asking me questions about how what was going on with their game. And you know, I ran into a couple players who said if you could help me out, and I was fortunate enough to get them on at the time the nationwide tour, and it just ran from there.
Okay.
That's how I started with what I do. And then it obviously went off into a whole different tangent. I started doing it for a living and I had to continue to study and some of the stuff I do is obviously a little different and that's fine.
Now it's something that you're extremely passionate about now. When you first got into it, you weren't as passionate because you wanted to play?
For sure. I still love playing. It's fun. I have a passion to hit balls. I don't get to hit balls. I work like 6 days a week, I'm sorry. And so I'm not getting to play as much. I'm not sharp. I have a passion to play, but obviously I am a teacher and I love it. I do have a passion for teaching and helping people. I feel like that's the reason I'm here on this earth.
I think that's why we're all here now, isn't it? You know, that passion to help people get better at golf. It's the buzz that you get out of it.
I love it. I mean, there's nothing better than watching a player who's a hack that's super stoked and you're not even happy for him because you know he could do better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you get somebody who's really good and you make him better. It's super cool too. On each end of the spectrum, you get somebody who's not very good. You make him a little better and you make somebody good who's already good is cool too. And every level in between.
And in terms of your coaching then, George, where would you say that you've developed your ideas and who's been the biggest influence in how you like to see the golf club swing? Is that from the research that you've done on yourself, from other players, coaches?
Well, I was originally infatuated with shallowing out the shaft like a lot of people are. I was pretty much infatuated with speed. So those two things brought me to trying to create the most speed I could possibly do, get the shaft shallow, and rotating through the shot. Those would be my three main focuses when I started teaching was how do I get somebody to kill the ball, control it with shallowing out the shaft and rotating through the ball. And I think that's how simple it should be, but sometimes it's not. So you got to figure a way to get these people into the model. So what would be my number one guy and where I develop what I do as a pivot would be watching, you know, Rory at first, when I started watching Sam Snead, when I watched Tiger, Jamie Sadlowski, guys who really killed the ball. I noticed that they all like in transition squatted down and rotated, and what happened first was I always thought they squatted and then turned, and it was more of torquing the ground, and then squatting, and that shallowed the shaft out. So I didn't have to do it with my hands anymore. So as soon as I figured out for myself and my players how to actually get the shaft to shallow out naturally with the body, things started getting fun for me rather than trying to shallow it out and then use the pivot.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. You're actually, you know, the way that you, the biggest influence on you is the best players, the best ball strikers, you know, actually just watching them hit golf balls.
100%. I mean, I'm not so concerned with the best players always, because a lot of people say that the best player, he doesn't do that. Well, the difference is with the best player is they have solid contact, distance control, and they miss on the correct sides of pins, and they know how to, you know, they have great minds. And they have great short games, great putting, and they work themselves around the course. That doesn't mean they're the best ball strikers. Sometimes they are, don't get me wrong, but sometimes they're not. And then you get a great ball striker who flies greens and makes bad decisions and can't play golf. You know what I mean? So ball striking doesn't mean you're a great player.
Yeah.
And it makes it a lot easier when you are a great ball striker. Yeah, course, that's for sure.
So for the people who are listening here, what are the three main things that you would say that they need to work on? So give us three things they need to work on.
Well, it depends on the level of player. So I don't fit everybody into the same actual box. You know, if you got a beginner and they're, for instance, hitting cuts, I'd like to see them getting the club in to out and snap hooking it first, which means controlling the face and getting, you know, the swing direction out to the right, and for a lefty, the opposite. I would say that would be my number one. Number two would be getting rotation through the shot after that, and basically keeping your center where it's at, not moving upper body back and forth. Not saying you can't do that, because Tiger did it really well when he played his best. I'm just saying that if you had a pretty stable pivot, meaning you're not moving back and forth, and you use your body in transition and you rotate, I think that those are the main keys that I use for my players, and how I do it is different for everybody.
Of course. Anything else? One other thing that you would do, that you see?
I always like, when I work with anyone, it's always contact first. You know, and sometimes to get contact, I need to change swing direction. So some players have good contact or bad contact, and they're coming across it, and I could get them good contact by leaning the shaft with opening the chest up or getting the handle forward or closing the face, and they're trapping it. And now they got good contact, but their swing direction is too far left. So what I'll do with a player like that is I'll get their swing direction right first, and then I'll develop the rotation, the rest, to get the contact better, rather than the other way around, getting contact done first. So contact is my number one, but the way I get contact isn't always the same for everybody.
Okay, let's go to the next question. Right, what is the biggest mistake that you see the majority of the students do, or golfers do? What would you say the one biggest mistake that you see them do?
I would say, practicing wise, I see a lot of players just hitting balls to a target without any scenarios or yardages. I think that's a big deal. I think a lot of my players, once they develop, you know, some kind of pattern and some trust, they're still just hitting 8 irons, you know, 170 if that's their max, or 160 or 180, whatever their max is, and they just keep hitting it. And then they get on the course and they wonder why they can't, you know, hit a 150 8 iron to a tuck left pin, and they pull hook it in the water, is because they haven't went through any kind of routine or practice that on the range. So I think that's one of the biggest things that I notice with good players, bad players, anyone. They're just trying to hit the ball solid rather than creating an on-course, on-the-range scenarios.
So difficult though, isn't it? If you think about, you know, we're here sitting on the driving range now, and the driving ranges generally aren't geared up to actually practicing correctly. We've got targets out here, but the majority of people get up here and, like you say, just hit balls without really thinking about it. So it's interesting, isn't it? If we can make the practice a little more purposeful to simulate some of the golf on the golf course, it would be a lot easier.
I think that'd be number one. Number two would be, I see a lot of people with cameras on the range and trying to hit positions rather than creating a ball flight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that if you went to two extremes, you hit a high draw, you could be under, and you hit a low cut, you could be the most extreme on the spectrum left. So I think that if you looked at it from that standpoint, you can make it a lot easier on you. And I think that's like a Bubba or old Tiger. They used to do that, and they played really good golf. And so we're so fascinated with the golf swing that we try and hit positions. And until we hit positions, we're not happy with our swing, and we can't play good golf, and that's not true.
Yeah, totally agree. You see a lot of people get stuck in that way because of it.
Yeah, I can't play good golf until my swing's where I want it. And that's, you can play good golf right now if you shut your brain off. And I think the number one thing I get from a player when they come to me, I want to be consistent. And I'm like, okay, what does that even mean? To me, it's like a frustrating question, because I'm like, what does that mean? Do you want consistent ball flight, contact? Do you want to do the same thing? Because I think we can all be consistent immediately if we shut our brain off. And when I say you shut your brain off, let's say you come in and you're hitting a 10-yard cut. If you shut your brain off, you can hit that 10-yard cut every time, but we adjust to every shot.
That's consistent.
And I think consistency is through our routine in our brain doing the same thing over and over. And if you're thinking about motion all the time, or you see your ball fly and you don't like that ball, then you're not going to be consistent. So you're always going to be changing. But if you shut your brain off and just develop the pattern for a while, sometimes it's not what you want, but guess what? You'll play a lot better golf.
Totally agree. Right, okay, I got an interesting one for you now. So, and this is not allowed to be one of your players, because you've got some guys on tour, some good players. Who has got the best swing on tour, in your opinion, any tour in the world, and why?
For different reasons. I would say, obviously, I love Rory. I like Rory because he's small and he smashes the ball. I'd say that's why I really enjoy watching him and what he does. I like his setup position. I mean, I like his position up top. I like the way he transitions, and I like the way he gets through it. He stalls his legs a little differently, but what he creates his face control through is his chest is always open. And if you get your chest open, your low point gets forward, because your left shoulder is attached to your left arm, which is attached to the club, which moves the divot forward. So doing that alone is huge. Before I knew anything about the legs, I used to just get chest open and I had success. You know what I mean? So he would be probably my number one to watch. Aesthetically pleasing to the eye. Everybody likes Adam Scott. I like Adam Scott. I just don't like his setup where he was bent over, but he's a terrific golfer. I like watching him. I think everybody tries to just copy him or old Tiger. I'd say, and those guys are brilliant. So I would say my other favorite would be, I kind of like watching Matsuyama.
Yeah.
I like watching him get it up there, set it, and then fire. It's cool. And he rotates crazy. He doesn't have the same leg work. Like his left leg doesn't go completely external, but the upper femur bone goes external. So he's really rotating, but his left kneecap doesn't move out, which is absolutely okay. So what's the difference? My guys probably go down a little bit more, which they need because they're small kids or they're trying to get speed. So getting that left knee out a little more would drop you into the ground more. That would be the difference. But I love his golf swing too. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
He's going to win a major soon, hasn't he? For sure. He's knocking on the door, isn't he? He's got to win one soon.
I think it's cool to watch him. I mean, he's dropping his club when he's hitting it 6 feet, which is funny to me.
Yeah. Okay, so George, you work with some elite level juniors as well. I know that's a passion of yours. We were talking sort of off yet last night. You really love working with the juniors because you can really sort of get them and shape them into what you feel you'd like to get them. What advice would you give any juniors listening to this who want to be, want to make it as a tour pro? What would you say? What advice would you give them?
I would say I would play as much as I can. I wouldn't be so concerned with the golf swing. I try and create a shot pattern to take one side out. If it's a 10-yard draw, 20-yard draw, and just create that, know that you can take that draw and miss it one way and it's never going right to right, or you can control your overdraw when you need it, great. Do that would be number one. Number two, I'd say I would do stats a lot besides playing. Well, that's three, because you got playing, you got shot pattern, and then you got doing stats. Find out where you need to work and spend most of the time on that. And don't be so consumed with getting your golf swing perfect. Play golf and learn to score and find out what your weaknesses are.
And I think, as you said earlier, that there's so much technology available now that it's so easy to get lost in your technique.
I think that's the biggest thing with most juniors is they go to college, and most coaches in college, a lot of kids that I've sent away to college start working with different players or different coaches that are coaches on the team, and you never hear about them again, which is sad because they had a pattern. They did their golf swing the way they did it. They knew where their ball was going, and then all of a sudden they're trying to make it look good,
yeah.
And you never hear about them again. So that bums me out. So just be careful when you're a junior and you hear advice from others that you have to change your golf swing to make it is not always true. And it's a perfect example would be my number one player. He's the number one freshman in the country. His name's Matthew Wythe. He plays at Oklahoma State. He was in the finals of the U.S. Junior Am. And his swing is, in my opinion, beautiful. But to a lot of people, he does a little weird trigger where he does a little dance move. Then he gets the club crossed up top, and then he squats and just smashes the ball. His speed's about 126 with his driver. And he dominates, and he's number one. And if someone went and said, hey, that backswing's got to go if you want to make it on tour, you'd ruin him.
Yeah.
And so he's smart in that sense. He trusts me, and it's it's great to see that he's not trying to change his swing because he doesn't need to.
Yeah, you look at the players on tour, look, there's so many different golf swings out there. You know, there's not one way to swing it. But I think, you know, we're always saying it as well, Pierce, look, if the guys can get out there and learn to play and get it around the golf course, you know, swinging it well is one thing. But like you say, you've got to manage your game. There's so many other things that attribute to actually just getting around the golf course in low shots. So I think it's a real key point, isn't it?
For sure. Okay. Dream four ball. Dead or alive. So which three golfers are you going to pick?
To play
to
with?
To play golf with.
Oh, damn. I got to say Tiger,
yeah.
Number one. I got to say Sam Snead, number two. And then I got to say Johnny. I'll bring Johnny with me.
Oh, brilliant.
That's good.
Johnny's my boy.
You're bringing him along for it as well.
Hell yeah.
I was hearing Andy and Pierce in my head, but it didn't come out.
Well, you guys are going to
we'll
film
behind
it.
Them.
You guys are filming, man.
If you got Tiger in there and Johnny and Sam, we'll caddy. And yourself, obviously.
Okay, right. Dream golfer. So driver. So if you could put together your dream golfer made up, best driver in the world, maybe the irons, short game and putting, who would those be?
Ever as well.
We're putting you on the spot here, George. Come on,
that's a great one. I would have to go with Rory with the driver. I'd have to go with Rory with the driver. Who's your favorite iron striker on the Champions Tour?
Joe Durant.
I'd have to pick Joe Durant for the irons. I love the way he hits his irons. He flags it. And then wedges, I would have to go with, God, I love KJ Choi. I mean, I've seen him, huh? Stricker with wedges or KJ Choi with wedges, 100%.
So what makes, like, Stricker, what makes him so good with a wedge?
I think he's just using the natural bounce. I don't think he's changing levels with his body. He doesn't have a lot of wrist hinge, and his low point's the same all the time, and his loft is the same all the time. So it makes it really easy to control his distances, where you see really good ball strikers, they have a lot of D-loft, they have a lot of down, and their shaft is lean, they have a lot of rotation, and so they get a penetrating ball. The front pins is very difficult for them, so they have to change their actual technique from 50 yards in, front pins, or 60 yards, 50 yards in. And so when you look at a Stricker, he's pretty good throughout the bag from 100 and in. He's great all around, but I mean, Jim Furyk's awesome too, but we're talking, I like Stricker, wedges. I also like around the green, KJ Choi, or what do you call it? Lahari?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, it's the sickest. I get to watch these guys. Is it Lahari?
Lahiri.
His wedges are absolutely phenomenal. One day we're out there with Sung Kang and Danny Lee and Lahiri, and he's hitting a wedge, and Danny goes, "That must be your ball." So Danny goes and grabs his ball and hits it, and it doesn't spin like him. Then he says, "It's got to be your club." And he goes and grabs his club, and it doesn't spin like him. And I'd never seen anybody do what he does with his wedges around the green. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
And how about putting? Who's the guy who's the hole puts? Anyone in the history of golf.
Clutch, you got to go within his time, Tiger or Nicklaus.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody who putted more clutch. I mean, I'm friends with Brad Faxon, and he's phenomenal. I mean, he's probably known to be a better putter than both of them, but clutch-wise, you can't beat Tiger or...
Yeah, it's pretty hard,
or
to beat.
Nicklaus.
Pretty hard to beat in his heyday.
The clutch factor, yes, 100%. But overall, probably Faxon.
And it's interesting, isn't it? We're talking about the dream golfer. And, you know, you look at these golfers as good as they are, and you alluded to it with someone who's a very good ball striker, maybe creating a lot of lean, and then someone Stricker who's obviously sort of collecting a little bit more, a lot
That's
shallower.
Why he doesn't hit it as far.
Doesn't hit it as far, absolutely. So, you know, and that's why I suppose Tiger was so good, because he was able to incorporate it all. But, you know, you get some guys who are good at hitting out of the rough, and, you know, some guys who are great off the tee but not very good hitting out of the rough.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very difficult to get all of these disciplines dialed in. I think it goes back to your earlier point. You know, playing golf is actually where you're going to learn all these things, isn't it? How to hit it out of the rough when the lie's not good. How to hit it well off the tee and hit the fairway. How to pitch it consistently.
Got some
wildlife around here. But yeah, you know, so there's, you know, learning all these multiple aspects of the game is very important.
Yeah, it is. It's when I'm teaching kids, I do a lot of weird games for them. I make them go behind trees on the left side of the fairway from 200 yards out and play it as a par three, or I'll go to the right side of the fairway and 200 yards out, and then I'll move up to 175 and go back and forth, 150, 125, all from out of the trees. And so they learn to curve the ball to the trees and flight it and all the rest. And that's basically what Tiger was always good at, is controlling, you know, his flight, and his trajectory for sure. So I'll play games like that. I'll play two ball, worst ball with my players. It's a great game because it keeps them consistent. And then sometimes I'll make them, you know, play from the reds, because they're always like, I'm playing from the tips. I'm playing, well, you're never going to get any confidence by shooting an even par all day. You know what I mean? For some players maybe, but if you want to take it to the next level, you got to see some really low scores. And that sometimes comes from playing red tees or easy courses. And and I see a lot of people getting fixed in country club style, and they're playing really hard courses. And yeah, they're really good, but then they go play an easy course and they're shooting the same numbers.
Yeah.
It's not like they're playing any better because they've never gone low.
They're mentally not being able to deal with being low. And then, like you say, I think if they can condition themselves to scoring and grow their confidence as they're progressing, it's a big help, isn't it?
It's a good point, isn't it? Understanding what it feels like to be 5 or 6 under par and doing that. And that's the same with any golfer, really, you know, any amateur golfer, really, you know, for sure.
Okay, George, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
We've done some, you know, amazing things. We've done a couple of videos. Make sure you go and check those on YouTube and our website. Now, George, we always finish off our podcast. Well, we've done one. That's the second one. With a quote. Have you got a favorite quote at all that you like?
A favorite quote? You know, I don't have a favorite quote, unfortunately, so I'm kind of boring.
If you haven't got one.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm going to pick a quote today, and that is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's very appropriate for us.
I like that.
Because this is something we always care. We all care about our students. And look, I think that's the number one priority as a coach for us, is getting the best out of our students. And if we can do that, then...
I think that's what Get Gucci is.
There we go.
There's your quote.
There's your quote. Get Gucci. George, thank you so much again.
My pleasure. You guys are awesome.
You're amazing. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Johnny. There you have it. What an amazing guest George has been. Now, this is only our second podcast, and we want to reach as many golfers as we can around the world. So please share this with everybody you know, and head over to the iTunes store and leave a review. We want to be able to get as many special guests on the show as we can to give you the best possible content. And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. So speak to you next time on the Take Charge podcast.